So we are picking up on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We're picking up 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara had said that the Gemara is talking about, when do you find out, what are you supposed to be making a bracha on? Are you supposed to be making a bracha on if something is dearer to you, that you like it more, or is it something that, like, from the Shiva Seminim, something that was, that came from the Shiva Seminim? So the Gemara, so the last thing that we did Thursday night was the Gemara had brought down a pasuk that said that it's done, the way that you make the bracha is in the order of what they're written in the Pesukim. Because it said in the Pasuk, Eretz Chitza, Sa'ora, V'gefen, U'te'enav, Rimon, Eretz Zayas, Shem, and Dvash. So you have, those are the seven things, seven minim. So that's the priority, that if you have the fruits in front of you, or if you have food in front of you, you should be using, that's the guideline in terms of from most important to least important, that's the one you're supposed to do to make the bracha. So the Gemara says, U'pliga the Rav Chanan, and even though that we said that pasuk is supposed to be used for to tell you about the Shiva Semin and what the priority is, Rav Chanan says it used that pasuk for something else. What does he say that used that pasuk for? Damar Rav Chanan, Rav Chanan said, "Kol pasuk kulo l'shiur nemar," that the whole pasuk, every single thing that's being said in that pasuk is being said to teach us what different measurements are that we're going to go through right now very briefly. That what is chita? What is it when it says wheat? What is the wheat referring to? The Tanan that we learned in the Mishnah, Hanechnal Sabayis Hamid. If someone goes into a house that is that has been declared a tzaras filled house, okay? So the halacha is the kelavak seifav v'sandal v'tabos v'yot. Well, let me. If someone goes into a house that has been declared a mitzora type house, so the halacha is that he becomes tummy right away, and his clothes he has to be in there long enough the amount of a period of eating. Once he's in there for that extended period of time, then his clothes are also going to become tummy. So the Gemara says if someone goes hanichnas sabayis. If someone goes into one of these Taras houses, v'kelav aksefav, v'sandalav, v'tabos, v'yadav, and instead of wearing his clothes, or let's say, well, let's not make him into a nudist. Let's say he's wearing clothes, okay? But besides the clothes that he's wearing, he also has that he was carrying garments, you know, with him, and he's carrying shoes, and he's carrying his rings, again, which we see in those days that the men wore rings. So if someone is carrying those things with him, so who v'hein tumei miyad? He, if he's carrying these clothes, then the clothes that he's carrying and he himself are tummy right away. How you love Caleb, let's say he was wearing his clothes, and he had his shoes on his feet and his rings were on his fingers, meaning he's not carrying anything else, he just has the clothes, he's walking into the house like he would at the end of any day, he walks into the Saraz filled house. Who tummy miyad? So as we said, as soon as the person walks into the house, he's tummy immediately. And the clothing and the shoes and the rings that he has are going to be tahar until he is in there for the amount of time that it takes to eat a half of loaf. And what kind of half of loaf are we talking about? We're on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, about eight lines from the bottom now. So what is this type of loaf that you have to linger in there long enough in order to become tamei? It's pas chitin below pasor, and that it would be wheat bread and not barley bread, because wheat bread is much easier to eat, so it's a shorter period of time. So that's the amount of time you need to stay in the house, and then the clothes are going to be eaten. And meitav ochlim beliftan, and it's talking about while he's reclining and eating, that he, again, in those days they would eat while they were reclining, and they would dip. They'll take the bread and they would dip it, as we do, you know, we have dips now on Shabbos also. So they had dips that they would dip the bread in. So so Rav Chanan is learning that the word chita is teaching us that you use it as a measurement, that you have to have wheat bread is the amount of, to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread is the amount of time you need to be in a mitzora house in order for your clothing to become tameh. The next thing, what's the next word in the pasuk teaching us? Sa'ora. It said in the pasuk barley. So what's that teaching us? It's now we learned at some kisa'ora that if someone had a piece of a bone that was the size of a barley, again, that's what we're learning out, sa'ora. Metameh b'magav maso, so it becomes tameh. The person becomes tameh if he carried it or if he touched it. Ve'enu metameh b'o, but a person does not become tameh. The halacha is that if someone walks into a house and there was a dead body there, so then the house has what's called tumas ohel, that the entire house is able to convey over that whoever's walking into that house is going to become tameh. But a bone, but a sa'ora, if you have one of these small bones, an etzem kisa'ora, if you have a small barley-sized bone, that's not enough to be metameh, that there isn't tumas ohel in that case. You don't have that the house becomes tameh, but if a person touches that bone, or if he carries it, then he is going to become tameh. So we learn from the word sa'ora, we're learning out the measurement of that it has to be a barley-sized bone. What's the next word in the pasuk? Gefen. The halacha is Kadeir Viyasyan Nazir. The halacha is if someone comes a Nazir, what does that mean someone's a Nazir? That amongst many things, he also vows that he's not going to be able to drink any wine, he's not able to become Tameh, he's not able to drink any wine, he doesn't cut his hair, amongst other things. He's not able to have any type of grape products. So, how much grape product is it that the Nazir is not allowed to, that he has to eat before he's going to be Chayav? So the halacha is that we say, Gefen, Kadeir Viyasyan Nazir, it has to be even though normally when you have foods that are usher to eat, we measure it as the size of a kezias. But when it comes to a nazir, the halacha is that in order for a nazir to be over the iser of not eating grape products, it's measured by a volume, by revius, by a volume measurement. And the way they do that is that they would take liquid displacement. They would say how much grape peels do you need to put into a vat of wine in order for it to displace, in order for him to be over the violation to become a nazir. So it has to be a quarter. So that we're learning from the word gefen, we're learning that the volume displacement is not water, which water is able to displace more easily than wine does, because wine is thicker. So, I'm going to just take that for that. That's the way that it works. But that if you have a thicker liquid, you have to put more in there in order to have it before it's going to display. So we're learning from Geffen that a person has to put the amount of volume displacement is a revius of wine. That's how much you have to put into the pitcher. Te'ena, what does the word te'ena teach us? Figs are mentioned. Kirgores lotza Shabbos, that the person is not going to be chayav for caring from either a private domain into a public domain, or he's going from the public into the private, he's not going to be chayav until he carries at least the size of a dried fig. So that's what we're learning from the word gergores. Rimon, the next word in the pasuk, is teaching us pomegranates, is teaching us kedetnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, kol kli bali batim, that if you have any, the halacha is that a kli becomes, when a kli is tamei, so when does a kli become not tamei? If it no longer has the category, the title of kli. When once it loses that title of vessel, then it doesn't have tumas kalim anymore. It falls off. So if someone has a vessel and it had a hole in it, and we're talking now about regular people, we're not talking about like someone that was a merchant who was selling product, we're just talking about someone who has in his house. So it has shiur and kirimonim, the measure at which the vessels that they have lose their status of kli and they're no longer going to be tum anymore is when the hole that developed in the size of the vessel was the size of a pomegranate. That the Rashi says that if a balabayas finds right now we're a very disposable society, but back then they weren't. So they would have a vessel, would have a little hole in it. So he says, okay, the hole's the size of a bean. I could still use it because it could still carry everything else that's larger than a bean. And then as the hole gets larger, he says, okay, I'm not able to use it anymore for beans, but it was also able to use it for if he had olives and then walnuts. And then the hole keeps getting bigger and bigger until eventually it's a pomegranate size. When it's a pomegranate size, forget it then. That's not considered to be a kli anymore, and therefore the kli will become tum. If someone touches it, that kli is not going to make him tum anymore. So we learned from pomegranates, we learned that size. And then the next thing in the pasuk, Eretz Zayas Shemen, that we learned that the land of olives, what does that mean? Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shiureh Kazesim. That's teaching us that Eretz Yisrael is a land that all the measurements that we have are the size of olives. So Gemara asks, whoa, wait a second. Kol Shiureh Sakadaitach, do you think to mean that every measurement that's going on in Eretz Yisrael is measured by the size of olives? But Ika Hanach Tamar, we just learned four things before this that showed us that it's not the size of olives. It was different things, you know, Chita, Saora, Te'ena, Rimon. We have those four things that was teaching us it's not the size of an olive. So what are you talking about? So he says, so he amended what he was saying, and he said, Ela Eretz Sherov Shiureha Kazesin, that most of the measurements that we're dealing with are the size of olives. And what's the last one? Devash. The last thing the pasuk said that it was honey, and again, we're talking about date honey from dates, that kikasoves agas b'yom kippurim, that the halacha is a person's not allowed to eat any food at all on Yom Kippur, but he's not going to be chayav. Okay, he's not going to get a punishment unless he eats something that is the size of the date honey. So that is what we learn out from that pasuk. So now coming back to what we were talking about, we said before that we learned that the priority of the brachos that you make is based on the Eretz Chita, Just got the pasuk. Eretz Chita, Seora, Geffen, Teina, Rimon, Eretz Zai, Shemen, Udvash. We learned that those seven things, that's telling you the priority to make the brachos. But Shir Hanan is learning out that those so that pasuk is coming to teach you different measurements for different situations that you're going to be, in different events. So what does he do? What's he do with that pasuk? So Gemara says, V'idach, so what does Rabbi Yosef do? How's he going to answer about this pasuk? So he says, Hanishurim behedim miksibi. That's a nice drasha that you're making now. You're learning out from each thing. You're making a drasha and saying that for each particular situation, there's a different measurement that's going to be whatever the situation is. But he says, but it doesn't say in the pasuk explicitly that this is coming to teach you the measurements. It's talking about the things that are going on in its child, the different fruits that you have. It says, Elamid Rabbanon. It's all these halachos we learned just now are Drabbanon. Ukra asma. And the pasuk is just an asmachta. Asmachta is where when the rabbanon said something, so they wanted to hang their hat on what they were saying, so they would learn out. They would say, "Oh, and you see from the pasuk that it is in accordance with what I was just telling you right now." Now again, an asmachta, and I heard the Chazal say that when you say an asmachta, it doesn't mean that they just look for any pasuk willy nilly, but it really doesn't have a full status. It says really that Hashem could have written it in the Torah, but he wanted that the Chachamim should be able to darshan from the psukim. So therefore, that's what it was. So he said, the pasuk is really teaching you the priority of what I said. That depending on what you're eating, where it is in the pecking order, that's the one you're going to make the brach on first. And these shurim that you're learning out was just an asmachta be'alma because these are halachos that are drabanan. So now a story that's related to this, Rav Chizkiya, Rav Hamnuna, Haviyasvi Besudasa, Rav Chizkiya and Rav Hamnuna were sitting together at a meal. Aisul Kamayu Tamri Vrimoni. So they brought before them dates and pomegranates. So again, dates are the last one of the seventh, and the Rimon is number five, I believe. Yes, it's number five. So what happened? So really, he should have made the bracha on the rimon first. He should have made the bracha on the pomegranate. What happened? Shakal Rav Hamnuna Baruch Atamri Bereisha. So Rav Hamnuna took the dates first, and he made a bracha on that. Okay, he made the bracha on that. So Amar Rav Chizda Lo Sriel Emar Lo Hadam Rav Yosef Yitem Rav Yitzchak. Don't you hold of what this drasha that we just had just now? That Kalam Uktam B'Pasuk Zeh Kodem LeBracha. That whatever is first in the pasuk is going to be first. And when you're making a bracha, so how could you go ahead and make a bracha on the date first? You should have taken the pomegranate and made a bracha on that first, because that's number five, and this is number seven. So why did you go to seven instead of five? So he says, Amarle, he said back to him, Zeh sheni le'eretz v'zeh chamishi le'eretz. He says, no, there's two things. The way that we were learning the Gemara up until now, we were saying that we were counting them as one through seven, right? We would say, Chita, Seora, Geffen, Te'ena, Rimon, Zayas, Shemen, and Dvash. So that's 1 through 7. He says, if you look at the pasuk, it says the word Eretz twice. So he said, yeah, Eretz is in the beginning, and then one of the last words in the pasuk is Eretz. So he says, yeah, it's number seven in the listing if you're starting from the count. But he says it's not 1 through 7; it's 1 through 5. And then it's 1, 2 again. Once it says Eretz again, Eretz is breaking up that pasuk. So, and Eretz, because Eretz Yisrael is so dear to us. So he says that yes, even though Rimon is 5 comes before 7, but Tamarim dates are 2 when compared to the word Eretz, the second word Eretz, and Rimon is number 5 when compared to the word Eretz. So therefore, he says that's why I made the bracha on the dates first, and not on the pomegranates. Amar Lei, so when he heard this from him, he said to him, Man yoiv le nagri de parzala umishmanicha. Who's going to bring me like iron feet that I'm going to be able to, that I should always be able to follow you around all the time? What you're saying is such a gem, that you're saying that the word Eretz, because it's Eretz Yisrael, it's so dear, so it makes those last two things like the equivalent of 1 and 2 again. He says, I wish I had iron feet to be able to follow you around, which is like a little bit of a hint to Iron Man. I'm not sure what the iron feet is representative of. But he meant that he really wanted to be mishamish him, to always be able to be around, because he really appreciated the gems of what he was saying. Okay, so just before we go on, just say, so halacha l'maisa though, the halacha is that we hold like Rav Yehuda, that if you have many fruits in front of you and their bracha is the same, okay, so if you have apples, oranges, and grapes, so then you're going to make a bracha on the grapes first, because the grapes are from the Shivas Aminim, and the apples and the oranges are not, so you'd make the bracha on the grapes first, and then you would not do it. If they're the same bracha, but you don't have any of the Shivas Haminim here. So again, let's say you have, let's just make it simple. You have apples and oranges. You can do whatever, you can make whatever bracha, whichever one you want, you can make the bracha on and there's no difference. If they're not the same bracha, so then it's a machlokas, what the halacha is, what you're supposed to do. The halacha would seem to be that you could do whatever you want in terms of making the brachos, but I think the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the more specific the bracha, the more chash of the bracha is. So, for example, mizonos is going to be before, because again, it's more specific. Well, hamotzi is at the top. Then you're going to have mizonos. Then you're going to have ha'etz and hadama together. And then last is shahakal, because shahakal is the most generic of all the brachos. Mm-hmm. So it would be that the more specific you get in the bracha, the more... The higher up it is in terms of the priority of when you'd be making the bracha. We're at the two dots on 41B. Okay, we're at the two dots. Itmar. So now the Gemara is going to say another case. Now, what's happening here? Hevil if nehem te'enim va'anav and beso chasuda. If they brought before them, okay. So you're in the middle of eating the meal. So Gemara is making is supposing that when we're talking right now, we're talking that someone washed. Okay, in those days they would wash before their meals. So we're talking about that a person washed at the beginning of the meal, and now they're bringing foods to them that are not necessarily a part of the meal. Okay. So that's what the Gemara is going to be talking about. It's going to be saying, when do you, even though, like, again, growing up as a kid, I always thought that you know, you wash, you make a motzi, boom, you're done. You don't make any other brachos for the rest of the meal. You're good to go. The Gemara is going to be talking about situations where even though you wash and you had a motzi, but you're still going to be making a bracha, you're going to make additional brachos during the meal. So itmar hevilif neim te'enim va'anav and beso chasuda. If someone brought before them figs or grapes during the meal, what's the halacha? Amar Rav Huna, tu'unim bracha lifneim v'ein tu'unim bracha lachraim. You make a bracha before them, but you don't have to make a bracha after them because the fruits are not considered to be part of the meal. They're not considered to be satiating. They're considered to be like a sweetener. So, and again, this is going back in those days. We'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of what we do with fruits now. But so you make a bracha beforehand, but you don't need to make a bracha afterwards because when you bench, the benching is going to include the fruits that you ate. Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said the same thing. Tunim bracha lefneim, ben tunim bracha lachreim. He agrees that you only make a bracha beforehand. You make ha'eitz, but you do not. Again, you made the motzi in the middle of the meal. They brought you out an apple. Again, let's think of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah night. You know, we dip the apple in the honey. If anyone wants to sing now, go ahead. So, but what you make a bracha? You make a bari priya eitz on that slice of apple. Because that's not considered to be part of the meal. You're doing it for the simanim that it represents. So you make a bracha, again, you make a bracha during the meal, but you would not bench afterwards. Rav Shesha Samar, Tu'unim bracha ben lefneim ben lachrem. Rav Shesha says no, that not only do you have to make a bracha beforehand, you also have to make another bracha after you're done eating besides the benching. We don't say that the benching is going to be inclusive of what's going on, so you'd have to make a bracha afterwards. She'en lecha davar shetam bracha lefanav vein tam bracha lachrem. Because you don't have anything, we learned this already a while ago, you don't have anything that you make a bracha beforehand that you wouldn't make a bracha afterwards also. Ella Pasba Bekissin, Bavad, except for Pasba Bekissin, which we'll be talking more about Pasba Bekissin tomorrow, but that essentially that's think of like cake. Okay, it's dough that's made with either it's like dough that they had pockets in it, and it would be filled with all different types of nuts and sugary sweet stuff. Or again, think of a piece of cake, which we'll get into tomorrow probably about like what you do with Pasba Bekissin. So therefore he says you would make a bracha both. Again, think if you brought an apple out, you make a bracha on the you make ha'etz before you started eating, and you have to make a bracha afterwards also, and you would also still have to bench. Upliga Rav Chiya, but Rav Chiya argues on this. Dom Rav Chiya, paspal teres kol minei ma'achol, that if someone makes a bracha hamotzi on bread, then it potters everything, even fruits that are brought up during the meal. V'yayin poter kol minei mashkim, and at the same time he says another halacha, that if someone's drinking wine, then he does not have to make a bracha on other mashkim that are brought during the meal. So again, if you're at a kiddush, and if you made kiddush before... you know, you get home from shul, you make kiddush, and your company is not coming over for a while, and you want to have a drink after that. You do not make another bracha after you made kiddush on the wine. The wine that the bracha the hagefen that you made on the wine is going to potter any other brachas that you have to make. Amar Papa, Hilchasad Halacha is Dvar Mabam Machmas Asuda B'so Chasuda, that if you have food that was brought during because of the meal that you're eating, Ain tunim bracha lo lefneim lachreim. You don't make a bracha before them. You don't make a bracha after them. V'shalom achmas asuda b'soch asuda. But if let's say you brought food that was not coming as part of the meal, tunim bracha lefneim v'ain tunim bracha lachreim. You make a bracha before and you don't make a bracha afterwards. La'achar suda, and if they brought after the suda, which I think we'll talk about more tomorrow, what that means, tunim bracha ben lefneim achreim. You make a bracha before and after. But again, the point is that... let's say again, think of fruit. So nowadays, if someone has, very often, like you're sitting down at a Shabbos meal, so someone will have, they'll serve a cantaloupe or pineapple or honeydew or something like that at the start of the meal. So the purpose of that, it depends on what the reason is that you're doing it. If you're just doing it so you can sweeten, you can get yourself, sweeten the tongue, then that would probably, that could possibly need to make a bracha before you're eating it. But if you're doing it because that's part of the meal, which I think nowadays most of them come as appetizers, as just part of the meal, then you probably would not need to make a bracha when you're doing it. We will stop here. And tomorrow night, same time, 8 o'clock.